Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. And a special welcome to visitors and guests. We are glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you would like to give us the chance to know you better or to ask questions of us, you are welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card found in the seat rack in front of you. You can fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. This time, I'd also encourage you all to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. On the inside cover of your bulletin, you can see announcements of upcoming events. There's, of course, the calendar, which is on the table in the commons, and then the rotating slideshow if you'd like to find ways to get connected to the church. There are a couple of announcements I want to make this morning that aren't in the bulletin. And the first is a thank you to all of you who came out and volunteered yesterday for our church mission day as we worked on a Habitat house, did some repairs, and had some folks work in the restore. This is a congregation-wide effort, and I think you would be proud of the folks who came out. And so I'd ask if, for just a second, if you volunteered helping or providing lunch, would you please stand so we can recognize you? Thank you all. If any of you would like to find ways that you can connect our church to mission in the community, we would love to have as many ideas, as many people volunteering as possible, and so we would always like to facilitate that. So continue to look out for more opportunities as we try to be of service to neighbors in the Dalton community. The second announcement I want to make this morning is a little bit more personal. It's thank you for the wonderful reception in the commons, for all that you are doing to support us and to welcome our new child. We don't know when the baby is due. We will keep you posted. I know you will understand if I have to escape in the middle of worship, but if all things go on schedule, I will be here next Sunday before leaving on paternity leave for a number of weeks. You can see information in the bulletin. We'll have a number of guest preachers who should be familiar to you: Walter Jones, Rebecca Blackwell, and John Spangler. And then Walter Jones and Dick Neely have both graciously made themselves available for any pastoral care needs that may arise. You can find more information and their contact information in the newsletter and in other print communications we'll have. So again, thank you all for your support and your welcome, and we'll look forward to returning with our new baby in the weeks ahead. Now this time I'd offer the opportunity for any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Thanks, Trent. We know some of you are wonderful singers, even if you sit in the congregation, so we will find you. Are there any other announcements this morning? And let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
please stand for the call to worship? From Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing.
Give thanks to God. Bless his name, for the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
And let us pray. Almighty God, plant your word in the depths of our hearts. By your Spirit, help us to receive it with faith, to tend it in hope, and to share it in love, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for a time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you all. It is. That was my first question, too. So did everyone hear what Andrew said? So I've got a box, and for all of these people out here, we're going to tell them this is what we do upstairs during worship, right? We tell stories, and in this box, we have a parable. Do you remember what a parable is?
It's very old.
It's very old?
It has treasure in it.
It has treasure in it. That's what we say upstairs, right? The box is made out of gold. So these are very special stories that are in here. Yeah.
Is it real?
It's not real gold, but we can pretend, okay? All right, so I'm going to open the box, and I'm going to see if you remember this story. Because this is what we're going to hear later in worship, and so we want to tell all these people out here, don't peek. We're going to start with this.
It's a road.
It's a road. So I think you remember this one.
It's
the Good Samaritan. We know these stories well. So do you remember what these are?
The cities.
They're the cities. Do you remember what the cities are?
The cities are big, big places.
Jerusalem. No, good guess. It's Jerusalem and Jericho. And so there was a man going down the road to Jericho. You have to. Do you remember this?
It's the man on the black stones are where the robbers.
And there are robbers hiding on the road, and so what happens?
They heard.
Yeah. And he lies on the road and he's hurt. So we'll put him right there. And so two people come by. Do you remember who the people are who walk by? Well, there's a priest, but does the priest help him?
No.
He kept on walking. That's right. And what about the Levite?
No.
He felt the same way. Yeah, that's right. And so they kept on walking. But one more person came along the road. Do you remember who it was?
The Good Samaritan.
The Samaritan. And what did the Samaritan do? Do you remember? There's the picture. Do you remember? There's the Samaritan helping the hurt man. Do you remember how he helps him?
He puts like this stuff on him that helps him heal.
Yeah, he helps him heal. He gives him medicine.
And he puts him on the donkey.
He covers him up in his cloak. He puts him on the donkey, and they go to an inn to take care of him. I'm impressed. You know this story really well. And I think that's really helpful for all these people out here to hear it again. So do you remember, so Jesus tells people who are listening to him that this is what it means to be a neighbor. So what do you think it is to be a neighbor? What does the Samaritan do to the hurt man?
Yeah. Somebody who helps.
Someone who helps.
It doesn't mean they have to live close.
It doesn't mean they have to live close. A neighbor can be whoever's a helper. So what do you think God is asking us to do through this story? Yeah, to ask people who are hurt if they're okay, to be helpers. Do you think that you can be helpers for each other? Yeah. Do you think we can be helpers all together as a church? I think so. I think that's why we're here, is to learn how to be neighbors and to be helpers. And I thank you for helping us tell this story this morning. Will you have a prayer with me before we go upstairs together? Can you put your hands together and close your eyes and repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for helping us in the love of Jesus Christ. Help us to be helpers and to follow in Jesus' way. We pray in his name. Amen. Can you hold still while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Listen now for God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. A lawyer questions Jesus. It's always a lawyer. He says, "Who is my neighbor?" And it is to this that Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan and the compassion of God. In the Gospel of Luke, listen for God's word to you. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hand of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you for whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, it is only through the word of your Son that we hear who you are and who you are calling us to be. So we ask that you speak that word into the depths of our being, that we might discover your image within us and live by the grace of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Jesus tells what's maybe the most famous story in the whole gospel, the Good Samaritan. It's been written into the language, written into stories of culture, into the law itself. You know who the Good Samaritan is. The children know who the Good Samaritan is, maybe better than us. It's the image of the person we're called to be. The one who doesn't pass by the people in need, the one who goes beyond reasonable expectations of what it means to help someone. And I think that if we were in the crowd of Jesus' listeners, we might hope that we'd understand. Jesus ends the story with one of the clearest imperatives in the entire gospel: go and do likewise. And we think, yes, Jesus, we'll go. Now we're going to turn it around. We're going to do what it takes to help the man in the ditch. In fact, now that you mention it, I was at the church mission day yesterday, and I've already started. This is what you say to yourself. And I assume that that's how we all respond when we hear this story. And that's because we are so well-intentioned. You wouldn't be here if you weren't well-intentioned. So we don't have to spend a whole lot of time unpacking the basic premises of our faith that have to do with the fact that we're called to be helpers. Go and do likewise. Yes, I'm going to help. I serve on a number of boards. I volunteer with several organizations. I already give a few dollars to each of the nonprofits who send mailers my way. I'm going to go out into the world and help people get out of ditches. Again, I assume this is how we think. Then we see all the ditches that the world has to offer. It's easy to get discouraged. And then you try to ignore the pangs of guilt that come with the fact that you just can't help everyone. And then you learn to ignore the pangs of guilt so that you can get along. And then you forget. The purpose of the story of the Good Samaritan isn't to make us feel bad for not doing enough, although maybe it can do that. Nor is the point of the story to set the bar of faith so high that we can't possibly meet it. The story is written to correct us when we think that we've already met the high standard of help that Jesus sets. Because that's one of the main things that prevents us from being neighbors in the first place. And the logic goes, if we can't be neighbors to one another, how could we possibly be neighbors to God? So take the lawyer who comes and visits Jesus. Luke cuts clear to his intention. The lawyer has come to test Jesus, to make himself look big or important or wise in front of this new rabbi who has gained such a following. He asks a question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a big question for a big personage. And Jesus does what he is wont to do and responds with a question, "What does the law say?" The lawyer doesn't even have to think. He gives the correct Sunday school answer. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. By now the lawyer's thinking, this guy really isn't that smart. I think I'm smarter than he is. Jesus says, you've got it. Do this. You will live. That's not really the answer the lawyer was looking for. The pat theological answer is never satisfying, nor is anyone actually interested in it. And so now we get to it. The real motivation for the lawyer's question, the real motivation for Jesus telling his story, is it's not enough to know answers about God. It's anyone can do that. The lawyer wants to justify himself. He wants everyone to see how good and righteous and holy he is. Because look at the great question he's asking. He asks Jesus then, who is my neighbor? And that's why Jesus tells the story. Maybe the lawyer thinks that Jesus is impressed. What does it mean to be a neighbor? Well, surely Jesus is looking at me. Means giving back to the community and volunteering your time, joining a civic organization, serving on a board. It means participating in some kind of religious order, doing your part. And I think we can all get along with what the lawyer's understanding of neighborliness is. We know what it means to be a neighbor. We're Presbyterians, so is Mr. Rogers. We're all neighbors. We're with the lawyer. We know in our heart of hearts that's us. Just look how well-intentioned we are. Maybe it's not fair to put ourselves in the lawyer's shoes. Maybe we see ourselves somewhere else in the story. For a long time, there was a standard interpretation of this parable offered by Augustine that put us in the place of the hurt man. We humans are the ones who have fallen into the ditch of sin, and we can't save ourselves. And neither can the faith of Israel, the law, and the prophets represented by the priest and the Levite who pass on by. Only the Samaritan, the outsider, God who climbs into the ditch with us in Jesus Christ can rescue. He pours oil and wine on our wounds like baptism and communion. He takes us to the inn, the church. He gives us the innkeeper, his spirit. He leaves us with what he can, and he promises to return. That's pretty good, right? I think Augustine could have given the lawyer a run for his money as far as cleverness. And so Augustine's argument goes like this: we're the hurt man, we need to be saved, and that's just what God does. There's another important story in the gospel where someone comes up to Jesus and challenges him. The story is called The Rich Young Ruler. You might remember it. In that episode, there's a similar conversational pattern. There's a prosperous, wealthy young man who comes up to Jesus. He gives the right set of theological answers to Jesus' questions. He says, "I've kept the whole law since my youth. What more must I do to be saved?" And so Jesus says to him, "If you would be perfect, give all the money you have to the poor. Come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven." The story ends with the reaction of the rich young ruler. He went away grieving because he had many possessions. We don't get the lawyer's reaction to the story of the Good Samaritan, but I wonder if he went away grieving. I wonder if he went away grieving because it was likely Jesus' intent to call into question the lawyer's understanding of righteousness. Because as a good person of faith, the lawyer might have identified righteousness with the stock religious figures of Israel's culture and history, the Levite and the priest. It would have been a great challenge to hear that the Samaritan, this foreigner, this outsider who doesn't belong to God's covenant, would be the one who's actually good and pulls the hurt man from the ditch. So in Jesus' story, the priest and the Levite are the beneficiaries of the doubt, which makes them perfect foils. They're the ones who observe the traditions of Israel most faithfully, which means presumably they care about the plight of the poor just as much as anyone. They want to help the vulnerable people and all those folks who fall into the ditches of the world. The priest comes first, and then the Levite. They follow the same pattern, ignoring the hurt man, moving on their way. They even cross the road as if they're driving through a bad part of town. Some people have wondered if the man on the road was a corpse, or they thought he was, which meant coming into contact with him would have caused ritual defilement for the priest or the Levite. That would have prevented them from doing their religious duties in the temple. But then others have pointed out that the men are on their way down from Jerusalem, from the temple towards Jericho. Their temple service is ended. Something has made them pass on their way without any help. These are the righteous of Jesus' day. These are the praiseworthy people. These are the people like the lawyer who do everything they can to help as long as they stay out of the ditch themselves. They might even make good Presbyterians. Presented with an image of God's own compassion, I think the lawyer must have gone away grieving. This is not what we expect in answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" A neighbor is someone who lends you their lawnmower or a cup of sugar. Hearing this story, I think we might grieve too. I'm willing to guess that you don't spend that much time concerned with ritual cleanliness. But we have opportunities to help people who have fallen into ditches, and there are often reasons that we don't climb in ourselves. And maybe to an outsider's perspective, these reasons would seem as irrational as the ones that prevented the priest and the Levite from helping. We see need as we drive around town every day. But where would we even start? Where do you start when you're an educator and you're already exhausted by the end of the day, coming into contact with so many kids in tough situations, and you can only do so much for each one of them? Where do you start when you get another letter from the United Way, and you realize that you gave last month, and now you wonder which organization has a better demand on your time and your money? Is it the one that provides medical services or the one that passes out food? Or where do you start when the demands of your own life are demanding enough? Taking care of children or elderly parents, or job loss or sickness? And who has time for kindness and compassion when the workplace or the marketplace demand constant and decisive action and attention, regardless of the cost to yourself? I think there are a lot of reasons we might pass by the man in the ditch, no different than the ones we can imagine for the priest or the Levite. Maybe the priest was just worn out from all those religious functions, and he just didn't have it in him to help another soul. Or maybe the Levite was the keynote speaker at a fundraiser, and he knew that he might be able to help more people than just the one lying in the ditch. Their stories might as well be ours. We, like the lawyer, may walk away from Jesus grieved because there are a lot of demands on our time that might keep us from the compassion God exhibits in Jesus Christ. I said a while back that the point of the story isn't to make us feel bad, and I'm sure you're thinking, well, good job. But remember, Jesus tells the story in response to a smart aleck follow-up question from a lawyer who wanted to justify himself. And after hearing the story, we might wonder, can anyone be justified? How can you live in right relationship with God and neighbor when there is so much pain in the world and so much to distract us from helping? You can only do so much. Because you can't hide from the ditches either. The Apostle John writes, those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. And those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. It's pretty clear. And so now maybe we have a question that we want to ask Jesus. Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Who can be saved? Well, what does the law say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And at this point, in response to that, maybe we'd be a little bit sheepish about asking a follow-up question and justifying ourselves. And so maybe we would ask Jesus, I can't always live up to that. What happens if I fail? Is that it? Should I leave now and never come back? We don't know what Jesus would say to that, but we can guess. We can guess that he might say something like, if I'm willing to stoop down into the ditch and pull out one sinner, what makes you think I won't chase after the sinners who have already walked on by? Sometimes we think we're the ones who are called to save people. Maybe we are. But we do it because in Jesus Christ, someone has already pulled us out of a ditch and then pulled us back towards it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Holy and loving God, we praise you for who you are in the grace of Jesus Christ, your Son. We come here with pain, and in Christ we find relief. We come here with sickness, and in Christ we find healing. We come here with questions, and in Christ we find wisdom. We come here with longing, and in Christ we find love. Be present to us in our seeking. Let your Spirit move in power over us, that through prayers said and unsaid, and in sighs too deep for words, you would hear us and draw us ever closer to you. Lord, in your mercy. God, we thank you for your blessings that come down upon us like summer rain. For the community you have formed here to bear witness to your redeeming love. We thank you for the opportunity to hear and to tell your story, that we might learn what it means to live by it. We thank you for those who teach us, those who sing to us, those who make this a place of service and compassion for others. Guide us by your Spirit to become the church you were calling us to be. Give wisdom and vision to our elders. Help those who are determining what it means to be a part of this community and how they are being called to serve. Help each one of us as we listen for your still, small voice. Lord, in your mercy. God, we ask your blessing on this place where you have planted us, in this Dalton community where you are calling us to serve. We pray for those families who do not yet have a place to live or to be in safety. So we pray especially for families we partnered with this weekend through Habitat for Humanity. We ask that you bless all families served by that organization, that they may find a house and find a home in you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all those whose situation of life is all of a sudden insecure, whether because of violence or illness, poverty or job loss. We pray for those people displaced and threatened by storms this weekend, and especially those in Louisiana in the way of danger. We ask that you would shelter all who are in danger under the shadow of your wings until the destroying storms pass by. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those whose lives have been upturned by political instability or economic deprivation, those who have no choice but to make a dangerous trip far from home looking for a place to live and work. And so we pray for migrants in our country, in our community, for neighbors among us. Especially we pray for those who are in our immigration system, those who suffer in overcrowded and under-resourced facilities. We pray that you would provide, Lord. Protect those who need protecting, and especially be with children who are alone and far from home. Lord, in your mercy. God, close to us, we remember cries of pain and need. We pray for those who are sick and hurting, doubting and grieving. We pray for Fran Lewis this week as she mourns the loss of Bob, and ask your comfort and healing for her. We pray for Scott DeLay and his family as they mourn the loss of Scott's grandfather. Let all who are hurt find healing in your compassion by the grace of Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in Christ's name, who is with us all, who is always in your presence, and who is with us always by the power of his Spirit, teaching us to pray as he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude and thanksgiving, let us return our gifts to God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we praise you for your many gifts, especially for your Spirit and for this love of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we return our gifts today, even though they be only a few coins, we ask that you make them tokens of love to offer hope and healing to those who need it by the grace of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Wherever you go, know that God goes with you. Whoever you help, know that you help as one who has been helped by God. So trust in the Lord your God wherever you are. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.